Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. But one thing we know for sure, God would never tell us to rejoice over something that's not really worth rejoicing over, right? God isn't going to command us to have some inappropriate response to anything. So we know that persecution really is an exceptionally wonderful thing. And that's obvious from the fact that God offers this reward. I mean, if you want the definition of good, you can say, this is just as good a definition as any, that which is good is that which is rewarded by God. God would never offer a reward for bad behavior. Or even questionable behavior. Only good. So in this case, not only does God offer reward for it, meaning it's good, but he offers great reward. You think of how glorious just average reward is. Just average reward in heaven is pretty amazing. It's better than anything in this whole world. All the most glorious things in this whole world is better than that. Wonderful enough to delight you for all of eternity. That boggles the mind. We can't even imagine something that good. And that's just average reward. So if something is good because God rewards it, then that which he offers great reward for must be exceedingly good. According to the apostles, it's good because it's an honor. Remember, that's what they said when they were persecuted in Acts 5. They went rejoicing because of the honor of being dishonored for Christ. In Philippians 1:29, it says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. It's granted. It's a privilege. In 1 Thessalonians 3:3, Paul says that he was appointed by God to suffer for Christ. So when you suffer persecution, according to Jesus, that places you in the company of the very prophets of God. It's granted to you. It's a privilege. What could be a higher honor than to be classified with the prophets? It's a high privilege to suffer dishonor for Christ. And it's a high privilege, I think, for a couple of different reasons. First, because when we're persecuted for bearing in our bodies the very wounds meant for the Lord himself, That's an awesome thing to think that we are receiving something meant for Christ. Think about that. I mean, that in itself is a huge honor. When Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, Jesus stopped him on the road, remember in Acts 9:4, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" What you do to the church, you do to Jesus. Persecuting the church equals persecuting the Lord himself. That's why later, after Paul was converted and he himself started to suffer persecution, in Galatians 6:17, he said, "Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear in my body the marks of Jesus." That's a high honor. That's a high honor. And he says, no one should cause me trouble because of this honor. In the Middle Ages, the Catholic Church, you know, they got kind of carried away with relics, thinking it was just a big deal if you could get some artifact from Jesus' time. And so they would have these shrines built around these, like a splinter off of the cross, or, you know, they found some bone that they say, this is John the Baptist's finger bone that he used to point to Jesus. And said, there's the Lamb, behold the Lamb, or, you know, some piece of cloth that Jesus used to wash the disciples' feet, or whatever. And they called them holy relics. And they used to practically worship them. I mean, they'd literally build whole shrines around them. People would travel for miles and miles and kiss the ground in front of the shrine of the holy piece of cloth or whatever. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that supports the idea that there's anything special about a holy relic. Although I have to admit, if I had some artifact that Jesus or some Bible character touched, I mean, if I actually had a piece of wood from the cross, or the actual pen that Paul used to write the book of Romans, or, you know, and I knew for sure it was authentic, which you couldn't know, but if I knew for sure it was authentic, I have to admit, I would think that's pretty cool. I would. I wouldn't worship it, but I would probably take pretty good care of it. I certainly wouldn't leave it laying around the floor. I'd probably put it on a shelf and take some care of it. But you know, the Bible never says there's anything cool at all about that stuff. About a piece of wood from the cross or anything like that. But what it does say is cool, what is of great, great worth from back then, is not a piece of wood from the cross or a thorn out of the crown of thorns or a piece of leather from the scourge. What really is of supreme worth is the actual wounds themselves. Now that, if you've got that, you've got something valuable. If you're at a pawn shop and you find a really good deal on one of the actual rods they used to beat Christ, don't spend your money. There's no real great value in that, but if there's immense value in having that rod applied to your back for the sake of Christ, so that you could bear in your body the wounds of Christ Himself. It's the highest of honors because it's a participation in the sufferings of Christ. And it's not just symbolic participation. It's actual participation in the redemptive work of Christ. You realize what that means? It means you're involved in that. When you are persecuted, you are literally involved in accomplishing the redemptive work of the suffering of Christ through your suffering. That is a staggering thought. I mean, it almost sounds blasphemous if it weren't in Scripture. Now, that's not to say that our suffering pays for anybody's sins. It doesn't. But it is to say that Jesus left some of His suffering unsuffered so that we could suffer it in His place and participate in His work. Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. So for redemption to happen, two rounds of suffering are required. The first round, Jesus had to suffer on the cross to purchase that soul and to pay for the person's sins. That's round one. But that by itself doesn't do a person any good at all, unless if he doesn't hear the gospel. And so round two, someone has to go through the suffering involved of delivering the gospel to that person personally. And that suffering is the suffering Christ has granted to us. So it's a high privilege. It's a high honor because when we suffer for Him, we are joining Him in His very suffering. They are His stripes. And nothing in all the universe is as important and as glorious as the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one reason why it's a high honor. Another reason why it's such a high honor is because it brings Christ special glory. It shows Him to be so worthy, worth suffering for. Think about it. We serve a God who's worth suffering anything for. There are other things in your life that you're worth suffering something for. There are people who are willing to suffer pain, for example, for the benefit of getting in shape. I mean, there are people out there that are like that. For others, it's not worth that suffering. But even for athletes, there's a limit to how much suffering they would be willing to endure to get in shape. No matter what the reward, there's always a limit on how much suffering you'd be willing to endure to get that reward. But this beatitude, there's no limit on this beatitude. Jesus did not say, rejoice when you're persecuted, up to a certain limit, past that limit, groan. He didn't say that. In fact, the greater the suffering, the greater the honor. You can tell how important something is to a person by where they draw the line and say, okay, that's enough. I'm not willing to endure any more pain for this thing or any more pain for this person. It's not worth it. So the greater the persecution, the more you show Christ's worthiness. Anyone can claim to love Jesus. I mean, anyone can mouth the words, "I love Jesus." And millions of people do. And does that honor Jesus? We mouth those words a little bit, but not a whole lot, because people say the same thing about food and cars and all kinds of stuff. "I love this, I love that, I love Jesus." But when you're willing to suffer for Him, that shows Him to be far more worthy than cars or movies or whatever else you love, friends or family even. And any Tom, Dick, and Harry can claim to love Jesus, but only a select few are found worthy to suffer for Jesus and give Him such honor by suffering for Him.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.